Hello, I'm Elisa Prosperetti, research intern here at the CSIS Africa program. I'm sitting down with Ambassador William Bellamy. He's the director of the Africa Center for Strategic Studies at the National Defense University. Today we're discussing his recent chapter on U.S. security engagement in Africa. This chapter is part of a larger forthcoming CSIS publication entitled U.S.-Africa Policy Beyond the Bush Years, Critical Challenges for the Obama Administration. Ambassador Bellamy, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
So let me start by asking you to explain how U.S. security engagement in Africa has changed since 2001.
Well, I think there's been actually quite a bit of continuity in U.S. security assistance policies towards Africa from 2001 through the Bush years. What's changed a bit is the context in which these policies have been delivered. But I would say probably the most significant trend in this time has been substantial U.S. support and assistance for expanded UN peacekeeping operations in Africa, and for expanded efforts by the African Union to take on more responsibility for peace and security operations. And continuing generous assistance, I guess I would say, to a number of bilateral assistance programs, whereby we help to prepare African governments and African militaries to take on some of these peacekeeping and stabilization tasks. So through this period, really, so over the past 8 years, and somewhat in contrast to the previous period where there was a great deal of congressional and public skepticism and some reluctance to fund these kinds of programs, there has been a pretty good performance in this time in terms of supporting those actors who are working to bring a degree of peace and stability to the continent.
And you talk in your chapter that violence overall or violent conflict has decreased in Africa. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most significant trend of the past 8 years. If you compare the situation in 2000 to the situation in, say, mid-2008, violence across Africa had ebbed. The number of conflicts was down. Casualty counts were down. There's no general agreement as to the cause for this.
Can you discuss what you've termed in your chapter the new threats or the non-traditional threats that are part of African security
today? Well, the new threats and the non-traditional threats are in part reflected in Somalia and the chaotic situation in Somalia. But what I was referring to there was the appearance really over the past 10 or 15 years of a whole panoply of problems that are confronting African governments and African publics. And they're not the traditional issues of conflict across borders or internal insurgencies or rebellions, but rather problems that have to do, for example, with increasing clashes and increasing competition over scarce resources, over water or pasture or land. Some of this due to environmental degradation, some of it due to climate change. I was referring to the fact that much of Africa's maritime space is unpoliced, and this has allowed a great increase in problems such as ranging from piracy to more smuggling, narcotics trafficking, illegal fishing, which has cost African economies billions of dollars in lost revenue per year. I was referring to increases in criminality and ordinary crime, which are major problems for many African populations. So across the board, these new sources of instability have affected African populations. And we, the United States, and a number of the outside donors, the developed world, haven't yet really developed mechanisms, effective mechanisms, whereby we can help African governments begin to confront some of these challenges.
So it sounds to me like you paint a picture of a sort of fragile calm with new sources of instability in the mix. How would you assess the Bush administration's approach over the past 8 years to these challenges?
Well, as I said earlier, in a conventional sense, I think the Bush administration can point to a positive record of meeting its obligations to the UN, supporting multilateral efforts to keep the peace, and in building up, attempting to build up the capacity of African governments and African militaries to confront a number of these problems. Where we have not fully succeeded is in putting those programs on a large enough and sustainable basis and being able to truly measure the effectiveness of them and demonstrate the effectiveness of them in ways that will convince Congress and perhaps taxpayers and the American public that we are making real progress. That we aren't involved in a two steps forward, one step back situation. Because while there has been progress in the past 10 years, African militaries are more professional, somewhat more capable. There is still a long way to go, and I think there's still a lot of legitimate questions to ask about the effectiveness of a number of these programs. Now, the other point that is important to mention here is that for much of the past 8 years, American policymakers have been focused on Africa as a possible theater for counterterrorism operations. This post-9/11 phenomenon, whereby I think many observers worried that Africa could become a safe haven for or a staging area for international terrorist organizations because of Africa's porous borders and because of its ungoverned spaces, resulted in a great increase in U.S. spending and U.S. interest in Africa from a counterterrorism perspective, resulted in the establishment of a semi-permanent base, military base in Djibouti. And so much of the past decade, really, has been focused on the counterterrorism dimension. African governments have, by and large, accepted the assistance, even if they haven't always accepted the premise that terrorism, external terrorism in particular, is their main problem. I think that view is changing. I think that we've gained a lot of experience in the past 8 years and are beginning to bring into clearer focus what the real terrorist threat is in Africa. And I think in the future, we're probably going to have a somewhat recalibrated, probably somewhat scaled down approach to that particular problem.
So bearing in mind everything that we've just mentioned, what are your key recommendations for the Obama administration moving forward?
I think a first recommendation would be to do a good inventory and assessment of what our real security interests are in Africa. I think there's no doubt that the United States does have strategic interests there. They do include correctly understanding and countering the terrorist threats that issue from Africa. But I think that we do need a reprioritization and a rethinking about where we want to spend our time and our resources. And I would make that the first step. I would also argue for a better balancing of civilian and military authorities and resources. As I mentioned, a lot of resources after 9/11 went into DOD and military-led efforts to counter extremism and terrorism. And I think a rebalancing of those budgets and those resources and authorities called for by many within DOD as well would be welcome. And I think it'd be welcome by African governments and publics as well. As I mentioned before, I think we need to rethink and perhaps recalibrate our approach to terrorism in Africa. I take a hard look at some of our traditional military assistance programs and look at ways in which we can measure them and ensure that we're really getting the most value for the dollars we spend. I think there's more we can do in that area. And I think probably, maybe most important would be this area of the non-traditional threats that I mentioned before. I think a lot more needs to be done in terms of how do we reinforce Africa's capacity in non-military areas to deal with security challenges. That's police, maybe the judiciary, it may be other institutional programs. We are lagging, I think, far behind in terms of reinforcing these nations' civilian capacity to deal with security challenges. And finally, we haven't said much about AFRICOM.
Right. I was just going to ask you about that.
And that would be my last major point, really. You know, AFRICOM, I think, has in some ways been, in some quarters, has been misunderstood and misrepresented. I don't think there's any doubt that AFRICOM represents a great potential benefit for African governments in terms of its ability to bring resources and attention to bear and its ability to put Africa on the agenda more clearly and more reliably back here in the United States. I think as AFRICOM continues to refine its mission and turns more towards core business and traditional forms of business, I think it will have a beneficial effect. I think refining the AFRICOM mission so that it can deliver security assistance programs in a much bigger and better resourced and more sustainable way would be a big benefit for us. It'd be a big benefit for Africa. And I think it would help to overcome some of these earlier misgivings that AFRICOM, you know, was meant to either put large numbers of American troops on the ground in Africa, which was never the case, or that it's going to usurp the functions of our diplomats and our development workers, which is not the command's intent. I think getting AFRICOM right, and I think it will come right, is also ought to be, I think, one of the first tasks of this new administration.
Well, I guess we'll keep our eyes on that. Ambassador Bellamy, it was a pleasure talking to you today.
All right. Thank you very much, Alisa.
To read Ambassador Bellamy's chapter or view pre-publication drafts of any of the other chapters in our volume, please visit us online at www.csis.org/Africa.